This is Mary Beland and Doris Dian interviewing Judy Bill Osceola at the Hollywood Reservation on Thursday, January 28th, 1982. Judy Bill, it's been a while since we've had a chance to talk with you. Could you tell us where you were born?
I was born in Miami, in a hospital. That little hospital was there. Name is Miami Jackson.
Did you live down in Miami?
Yeah. We lived in Tamiami Trail, me and my mother and my father. And when they split up, you know, when I was just a baby, my mother took me to Big Cypress, and I stayed there till I was about 5, 6 years old.
What are your parents' names?
My mother's name, my real mother, name is Mabel Osceola, and my father's name is Bill Osceola. But my mother died when I was six years old.
Is your father still living?
Mm-hmm. He's still living.
So you lived on the trail for a while and then went on and lived at
At Big Cypress.
Big Cypress. Well, you're real active with the arts and crafts. Do you also do the patchwork and the basketry?
Mm-hmm. I do. I learned how to do the designs when I was about 16 years old, and through my sister.
About how many different designs can you yourself make?
Everything.
How many designs are there?
Oh, I would say over 100 different, and I can do all of them. Probably even make up my own if I wanted to, you know.
Well, tell us how you do the designs. Tell us about the fabric tearing and how you start.
Okay, on the materials, you get a cotton fabric, not anything else that stretch, because you got to tear them up into small strips, and then you put them together, sew it together, and then you cut them up into either slant, you cut them straight, you put your materials together, different colors that you want to put on, and after you cut them, then you sew it together, but you don't sew it straight like you cut them. You put them together like one on top of the other. And then after you sew it, then it looks, that's how it becomes a design. Like a patch, like quilting, you know, do by hand. But you're doing this by a sewing machine.
Well, in a skirt, about how many yards of designs are there just in one of the bands that would go around a skirt?
2 yards. 2 yards for the skirts that we sell in here, because we know that the white women don't like to wear real heavy skirts like we do. The Indian ladies wear 4 yards, and but we cut it down to 2 yards because they like it like... Like, you know, when they're having parties, they like to have that straight, nice, light skirt where they can move around. We know that, so this is why we just only put 2 yards of design. Altogether, it would be 8 yards in a skirt.
And a skirt would take about how long to make?
Well, if you make your own designs and you put everything together, and if you're real slow, about 2 weeks, and if you're fast, it'd be a week. Which take me 2 weeks.
What is the Seminole name for skirt?
Ohone.
What is the name for the designs?
Tawigachi.
And what's the cape called?
Shampatagi.
That's what it is. Does the cape ever have designs on it?
Well, I guess if you wanted to, you could make it fancy any way you want to, but... as far as I know, I have never seen a design on it, except those, when Christmas time comes around, they put sequins on them, around the bottom, and they make it real fancy, you know. but I have never seen a design put into it.
What is the cape made out of? What kind of material?
What's those see-through, like a nightgown laces or sheer? That's what they make the capes out of. But that's only to make it look nice on the top. But back in the old days, it was used to protect themselves. You know, it wasn't a sheer nylon then. It was a cotton material. It was all strips. And it was colorful back then. And they kind of had it short up to their elbows. And then they had long sleeve to up to the wrist. And that was to protect themselves against mosquitoes, against sawgrass when they travel, you know. Because the Seminoles travel a lot in the canoes and they walked. And I remember when I was a little girl, I remember my mother, she used to have me on her back and she used to walk through the waters and everything. When Clewiston, they were just starting that road over there, you know, and they were going like down further and further down to the Everglades. And I was just real little then. And I remember here things here and there, you know. But I don't remember a lot of things, but I remember my mother carrying me on the back, and there were a whole bunch of Indians walking in the water, you know, going towards Big Cypress. And I think when they finally reached Big Cypress, that's where they settled. And there was a big village where I grew up. Everybody lived in the same village, and one big cook and chickie, and one big, like a dining room, I guess that's what you would call, but it was another chickie where they ate, and the food was there all the time, like the sofki, the bread, the honey. And see, I never went out of the Everglades until I was about 6-7 years old. And I didn't even know that the world was so big then. I thought it was just a big Cypress. And I used to see, like, far away, I would think that, my goodness, I would probably fall off, you know. Get to that edge, I would fall off. But one day, they was coming down here to Hollywood for Christmas. And at that time, I don't know where they got it, but they had two big army jeeps. Everybody used to travel in that. When they had to go get some groceries, they would travel to La Belle and go get. The only thing they got was flour, rice, and grits, and other stuff. The meats and everything was like a bird and deer and pig, and you know, it was already there, you know. And that's how I began to remember as I got older. And what then was I saying? The village when I was growing up. Mm-hmm. And then when I was growing up, you know, all I knew was that when we, at night, we gather around the village into the cooking chickie, all the little kids did. And I remember seeing all the big four poles in the cooking chickie. And we sat there at night, and the old men would all come in, and they would tell us all the stories. And but as soon as just when it's getting dark, you can't play. They tell you you cannot play, and you got to behave. And so you always have to respect the elders, because when they tell you something, there's something behind it. It must be important, you know. So you don't ask questions. You have to listen.
Would tell us like legends, and then they would, and then when you fall asleep. What would be a legend that you remember your mother telling you? One of the legends I remember was something about a baby. this lady had a little baby, and she...
Okay, one of the legends I remember was when my mother said that there was this little baby and a mother, and she put the baby under the chikki, and she went to do her business, and then she would be making, you know, things at the house, and then she would call back, and she says, "Are you there? Are you still at the chikki?" And the baby says, "Yes, I'm still here." And so she got to what she was doing. She come back, and it wasn't the baby sitting there. It was something else. It was an animal or some type. And so she started following the tracks, and somebody picked up the baby and left. And when she went, she run and kept following the tracks, and she came upon this whole bunch of... legs, just bunch of legs sitting there fishing, and just making all kinds of noise. And the woman says, "Have you seen my baby go by?" And the leg says, "Yes, somebody had the baby, and he was going towards that way. And so if you hurry up, you might catch up." So she goes on, and then there was another river, whole bunch of arms sitting there, just fishing away. And "Have you seen my baby go by?" And he says, "Yes, it went that way. You better hurry up. You might catch up." And when she went on, there's a whole bunch of heads, just the heads sitting there, just talking away and just fishing away and making all kinds of noise. And says, "Have you seen my baby go by?" He says, "Yes, he was really traveling, so you better hurry up." And she says, "Okay." So she went on, and then she came upon this cottage, and she looked through this little thing. It was like a little hole. She looked through, and the baby was sitting there on the table. But she said there was a big old rattlesnake guarding the baby, but she couldn't get to the baby. And she says, she starts singing, and she says, "Ya te wagatko jama, ya te wagatko jama." And then the baby hear it, and she starts crying and says, and started crawling. But somehow the snake got to the door and guarded the door. So somehow the mother picked up this big old club and hit the snake and got the baby and started running with the baby. And then the snake started chasing him. But she went through this small little bridge with the baby. And then when the time that big old snake got on there, it cracked and the snake went down. But somehow the baby got back with the mother, and they went home. So the legend really pertains to never to leave your baby unguarded. You know, that's what it really means. Because you never know what's going to happen to your child. So this is why they never leave you anywhere, you know. And then after they get through with you, then you have to go spit twice, and then you fall asleep. That's what we had to do. And in the village, you know, we grew up like really guarded, like, you know, and we never was, I don't remember being sick at all. Like, I got a cold now. And I don't really ever remember being sick until I got here. That's when I remember having colds and stuff.
Judy? Do you remember any lullabies that your mother sang you?
No, I don't. But they have a song for babies, but really know that one.
What was the song that you were singing that the mother sang to the snake, or that she sang to the baby?
Yeah, it was a baby. she was calling her baby, and she was singing it. And then the baby would crawl, you know, to the mother. But when the snake got to the door, the mother was supposed to hit the snake and got the baby and started running. But there's a lot of other legends that they used to tell. Like one legend that I remember was like two men went and found a lot of fish in the log. And one grabbed all the fish that he could and took it back to the village and ate it, and the other one didn't. He says, you never know what's in those things. He says, you better not eat it. He says, no, I'm hungry. He says, I'm going to eat it. So he eats it, and the next day, his feet began to change, like it was beginning to look scaly looking. In other words, he was turning into snake, you know, like this. And his body just kept on coming up, and his brother would go and get food for him, and he would eat. Finally, his body, the snake, was up to here. And finally he says, go get all my relatives, because I'm going to lose my mind, and I won't know what I'm going to be doing next. So I want to see all my relatives and go. And he brought his mother, goes on and puts his head on her lap and talks to her. He says, I'm never going to see you again. He says, I'm going to go into a big lake, and I'm going to stay there. I'll never see you again. Don't come to the big lake, because I won't know what I'm doing. I might kill you. Then they said he'd crawl into a big lake, and they believe it. They say it was Okeechobee Lake.
Ooh, Judy Bill, that's a good story.
And then all that Kalachi River, you know, they say that it was the snake that was crawling around, because they say it just looks like that. It was a snake.
I have a question about the patchwork designs. Are you picking this up? Or?
This is absolutely bizarre.
What's happening?
I think the current must be fluctuating.
It's going fast and slow.
We'll see.
Oh, Doris.
I just can't believe it.
Oh. This is horrible.
It's Doris.
Get some good early stuff, though.
I think so.
Oh, yeah. Judy Bill, you're so phenomenal. I would love to just sit here.
I would too. You just know so many stories.
And you're so.